Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. I think in another episode we're going to put that clapping effect so that it's more interesting. Anyway, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. This promises to be a very, very interesting and rich episode. Today's episode is titled "A Sword, a Lamp, a Man," and many of you probably already know what it's about. But for those that do not know what it's about, it's about the Word of God. Yay! And today today with us we have a very, 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 very special guest. A very special guest. I'm going to give her the opportunity to introduce herself.
Yeah. Hi everyone, my name is Shifumi Shodunke. Yeah, I'm a student. I'm from Nigeria, and yes, I'm a child of God. I think that's most important.
That's the most important. Yeah, and she's also very ready. She's very ready today to help us to dissect and what's the word?
Oh my God, is ready to use us. Let's put it that way.
God is ready. Yeah. So yes, this promises to be a very interesting and very great episode. So today's episode is "Sword, a Lamp, a Man." The reason why it's titled this is because many times in the Word of God we see the word as a sword, as a lamp, as a man. In case anyone was wondering. So yeah. So first of all, we're going to talk about this word. What exactly is the Word of God?
I think, like you have said, from the title, the Word of God is a sword, it's a lamp, it's a man. So I think I'll start from the back, like the Word of God as a man. And you know, John 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And you see that it talks about the Word as a person, a living being. Mm-hmm. But if you go further to like verse 8, you see that it mentions that John bears witness of this Word. And in verse 14 he said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us," and it typifies the person of Christ. So when we say the Word of God as a man, it's talking about Christ. Then as a lamp, we see in Psalm 119 verse 105 that "Thy word is a lamp to my feet." That means the word gives direction, it lights my path. You know, the Bible even said that in that same John chapter 1, the Bible says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's verse 4. And the Bible says that, "And the light shineth in darkness," showing that the Word of God brings light also. The Word of God is a lamp, according to how it's written in Psalm 119. Yeah. Then when we consider the Word of God as the sword, we see in Ephesians, when the Bible says that we should put on the whole armor of faith, it mentions that we should take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That means you need the Word of God to fight, to destroy, to
scatter. To scatter. Yes. Yeah, wow, that's so wholesome. So yes, that's where that's where the Word of God as a sword comes from, the Word of God as lamp or light, in fact, both, and a man, which is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, right? Okay, so first of all, I would like us to start with the Word of God as a lamp. As you said in Psalms 119 verse 105, that the Bible said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So how would you say that the Word of God is able to, you know, direct a person? I'm not even going to go too far. My own life, first of all, I think there are many instances where the Word of God has carefully like directed my path. Like in my mind, I think, okay, this is what I want to do, and all of a sudden the Lord is just like, and you know, many times, actually, God does not... I would not say that God majorly speaks to me in precious, oh, precious. I mean, he spoke to Moses like, Moses, yeah. Moses. No. But many times, the way the Lord speaks to me is through his word. I sit down with his word and I'm reading something, or I'm reading a scripture, and I just get to a verse and I can't move again. It's like, this verse, God, what is it saying? Like, it's literally talking to you, right? So, how is the word of God able to give direction? If you say something is light in a path, that means that there was once darkness on the path, and you know, it's making the path light. And if it's a lamp to your
feet, also means that it shines your on your path, so you're able to walk, you're able to see where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it means by lamp to your feet. I think the thing is, the word of God is complete. It's just maybe we've not just had the right situation for a particular word of God that you know somewhere at the back of your mind. So the word of God is complete, and it's it has solution or direction for anything you want to do in life, or anything, any situation you find yourself, or any step you want to take. So the thing is, when you already have a relationship with God, and when you study the word of God, in times when you have different situations where you have to take decisions, where you have to go a particular way, or you have to do one thing or the other, what happens is God can use this word to give you divine direction.
Yeah,
he can use it to tell you that, okay, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, or this is what he's going to do. Things like that. Well, so the word of the word of God gives you direction, like this is how you should go about whatever it is you want to do.
Wow, that's awesome. So the word of God, first of all, as you said, the word of God is complete. I'm just like, wow, the word of God is complete. Every word that you ever need in this earth is already contained in that word. I think that that's just so wholesome. Like, I feel like I could settle on that forever. Like, every single thing that I need
for life and godliness
is contained in this book. And it's just like, wow, that's amazing. The word of God is complete. And so the word of God can direct your path, can lead you and let you know certain steps and directions to take. And apart from directions, let's go into doctrine and training. For example, I've heard a lot of people say things like, oh, this is not, it was never said, it was never, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, so it's not wrong. Like, for example, I think drinking, that like, the Bible never says this, so it's not wrong. Or the Bible says this. For example, there's a part in scripture, I think in Leviticus, that says that women should not dress in men's clothing. God, this one's done that. Okay. This one, that women should not dress in men's clothing. This was one of the scriptures that people really used to defend that.
Ladies should not wear trousers.
Yeah, thank you. Ladies should not wear trousers. They'll be like, if you're obeying the, don't make, because actually in that same chapter, the Bible actually says don't make markings on your body or tattoos and everything like that. So people are like, if you're obeying that one, why are you now disobeying this one?
You know, the Bible also says that you should not join two clothing materials of different types. Yeah, that's
very true. That too.
So there is also that. Now, one thing about the Word of God is that we should understand that it's the human mind that interprets it. Except you're a person of the Spirit. We're going to keep that aside. So now, the thing is, anything you want to find in the Word of God, like, you, if you want to interpret the Word of God wrongly to suit your situation or to suit what you want to do, you would always find a word for it.
Yes.
But that's why there are two, there's the Word of God that is called the Logos, that is just the letter, just like the Word, how it is written, and there's something called the Rhema. Now, the Bible even says in the book of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it said that he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. He said, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, and the Spirit gives life. So, majorly, the thing is, the Word of God is not something that you want to interpret with your human mind. There are things that you may want to tell yourself that, oh, the Bible didn't say don't do this, don't do that. You can argue that the Bible never said outrightly for people that, okay, don't drink. But there are places in the Bible, even of Jesus Christ, we see that Jesus Christ is a Nazarene, and as a Nazarene, you can't drink.
Yeah.
There are places in the Bible that it says concerning maybe deacons, bishops, and all of that, that they should not be given to wine. It's in the Word of God. And so also, you would even say, you can come and tell me that, oh, Paul was talking to Timothy and he told him that he should take a little wine for his stomach because he was sick. So I'm just trying to say that if you want to interpret the Word of God to suit your situation, to make it comfortable for you, you will. But when you read the Word of God, it is not just of your human mind to interpret it to you. It's not something, it's not something that you just read and you read it like, oh, it's a textbook, it's rocket, it's just science, and you put, no. You, that's why it's not just about just reading. You still pray on that word. You meditate on the word. You are giving the Holy Spirit space to interpret His word to you. There are things that the Bible doesn't tell you that, okay, don't do this. For example, in terms of direction, like you want to take a job. Nothing is wrong with the job. And it's not written in the Bible that don't take this job from Mr. A. But you can study the word of God and the Bible can tell you that I have greater plans for you. And it is God giving, like God telling you that don't take this one. I have a better plan in store for you. Like, do you understand? So it's not, it's not something that you just, you just take and just interpret it just like that. You need, there has to be a revelation of the word of God by His Holy Spirit. So I think.
Wow, that's so true. I really love the way you put it. Like, there has to be a revelation of the word of God from His Holy Spirit. And I think it also even makes sense because it's the one who gave the word that is able to properly interpret it. There's this example that Pastor normally gives about how if you manufacture a phone, no one knows the full capacity of the phone apart from the manufacturer of the phone. I think it's the same way in the word of God. The person who gave the word is the same person that can tell you, oh, this is what I meant when I said this. This is what I meant when I... So there's no way to interpret the word of God apart from through the Spirit. If you're interpreting it with your manly wisdom, then most likely you're going to get it wrong. Even if it seems like, oh, this is what it's saying. And so I wanted to digress and, you know, stop on that point where you talked about how we cannot interpret scripture without the help of the Holy Ghost, right?
Yeah.
And I just remember this one time in secondary school. We're really young. I think, how old was I? There was no way I was up to 15 years old. We're very young. We were having a... We came together in one room with this, my chaplain. My chaplain, I mean, he's older than all of us. He's an adult. He was an adult then. All of us teenagers there in the room. And that's how he came to the room. He opened the scripture and he read the scripture. I can't remember it. I think it's the scripture that says, but God forbid that I boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And so he read scripture once, he read scripture a second time, read scripture a third time. And that's how he now said, can anyone... Oh, first of all, in fact, some of us came to the meeting without our Bibles. Ah, I remember. We were cell leaders. We were cell leaders. So it was like a cell leader meeting. Some of us came to the meeting without our Bibles. He first sent us back. Like, you cannot enter here without the Bible. I don't know what happened to him that day. I think maybe he had a revelation or something. He had an encounter and there was just fire burning in his bones. And so all of us, we came back with our Bibles. And so he now reads the scripture once, read the second time, read the third time. He now said, okay, who can explain what this means? We'll try. We'll raise up our hand. He'll say, oh, no, first of all, he first went around. Nobody could explain it. He now said, okay, who can explain what it means? That's how someone raise up their hand, they will say what they think it means. He will say no. Someone again will raise up their hand, they will say what things it means. He will say no. He will now say, let's pray. We will pray. I'm telling you, not small prayer.
Wow.
Because we prayed. After we pray for like 30, 40 minutes, we'll go again. Who can explain what the scripture means? Oh my god.
He was trying to teach you guys to tap into the Spirit.
Oh my god. He was trying to teach us to depend on the Holy Ghost to interpret, because we will pray. I remember that day like it was yesterday, because I remember thinking, I've never prayed this long just to understand a scripture, like one verse. No. Like, it was just strange. It was strange. And then after the last time we prayed, he now said again, who can explain what the scripture means? Somebody raised up her hand. And that's how she said, she explained it. He was like, yes, that's it. From there, everybody started, this is it. And even running, everybody really, wow. I was like, wow. It was like wells opened, like seriously. So I think it's also important to note that it's like a cycle. The word leads you to prayer. Prayer leads you into the word. The word leads you to pray. Prayer leads you into the word. So it's very important to depend on the help of the Holy Spirit in interpreting a scripture. I mean, what could you have said that could have been wrong? I think what would we have said that would have been wrong? But still, he needed us to understand that, oh, you need to lean on the Holy Spirit completely.
Yeah. And these things actually come with practice. Like, the more you do it, the more you study and pray, it gets to a point that when you are studying, it's like the Holy Spirit is already with you. I don't know how, yes, how best to put it, but it's so like, true. Even if at that moment you didn't start with praying before studying the Word of God, you just get to a point like, that it's like the Spirit already
compelling you to pray.
Explains that's and all
so
of that.
True. Wow. Yeah. So, like we've already said, lean on the Holy Spirit. We'll never stop talking about the Holy Spirit. Don't even, it's a given. The Bible even says that all scripture is given by inspiration, by the Spirit, for doctrine, for training in righteousness, for reproof. I mean, and I just think that's very wholesome. Okay, so next, let's talk about the Word of God as a sword.
Okay.
Right? I think it was in... And actually, there are two aspects, actually. That's why, I mean, there are two scriptures where the Bible speaks of the Word of God as a sword in two very different contexts. The first one was in Ephesians 6:17. I think, like you said, that's on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? There, the Bible was speaking as a sword of the Spirit, as a weapon of offense. In Hebrews 4:12, he says, for the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword,
yeah,
right?
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
And I find it so distinct, like the Word of God in that scripture is not like a sword used for fighting, it's like a sword to...
It's like... So now, the thing is, in the first part, it's like you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. You are putting on an armor. We believe, is you seeing the world as a warfare? Mm-hmm. Like you're a pilgrim on a journey, or you are like a soldier in the battlefield. Mm-hmm. You have to have your shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So there you are fighting. You are fighting the imaginations, every heightened that raises up itself against the knowledge of God and all of that. Mm-hmm. You are fighting to have a better life or a better Christian life, let's put it that way, in the world. Mm-hmm. But here it's the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about something that pierces your soul, such that when you use a sword to cut into someone or to pierce into a person, you are opening up the person, showing the true intents of your heart.
Yeah.
It's revealing who you are to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's two ways. It is revealing the things you think you are, like the things on your inside that are not in line with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also showing you a mirror of who you should be. So it's like the Word of God as something that it's revealing. It's showing you the true intent of God for you and who you really are. Basically, so I feel that's what Hebrews 4 is trying to say. It's just it's two different ways of saying the word as a sword.
Yeah. Oh my God. So now you've already explained the word. Wow. First of all, wow. You said I'm sorry, but wow. Like the Word of God, first of all, reveals you who you are to you, and then a mirror of who you should be. Oh God, I could settle on that forever. But okay, let's move on. Okay, but yeah, that's the Word of God as a
sword.
As a sword, that is the revealing the intent and discerner of thoughts. Now to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit, that's the battle of offense. And I know many that verse, all the weapons that are listed there, breastplate, shield, helmet, right?
Yeah.
For salvation, foot, I'd forgotten what it is. Gospel of peace, right? And all the things, all those weapons are defensive, and we've always heard that the Word of God is the only weapon of offense there. So how can the word be applied, you know, as offense?
Thing is, you have to see it this way, that we are in this world and sometimes the devil brings maybe thoughts or situation, or there are situations around you that are not aligning to what you think should be happening. Now you have to fight those situations with the Word of God. You know, when you are praying that this should happen, that should happen, it's it carries more water, or it holds more water when you are praying according to the word of God. It's always good that you're in a situation and you can say that, oh, the Bible says in this particular verse that this. Mm-hmm. When you are requesting of something from God, the Bible says that, oh, I should ask of the nations, he will give it to me. Mm-hmm. Or you say, whatever I ask, I'll receive. Mm-hmm. And when you pray, you know, that way it makes your prayer the word of God. And mm-hmm. the Bible says that God holds his word higher than his name. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 65 verse 11 or 55:11, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. It says that, so will my word go forth, it will not return to me void. Mm-hmm. It would accomplish that which I please, which I please, mm-hmm. and prosper in that thing. So mm-hmm. when you say the word of God in such situations and all of that, it's like you are using that word to attack whatever is attacking you.
Yes.
You are using it to fight. You are using it to fight. So mm-hmm. that way, even the devil respects the word of God.
Yeah, aye, that's true.
So when you in that situation, the word of God is something that you are using to fight. You are using it against the plans of the enemy, against the situation you find yourself mm-hmm. in, and all of that. So it's like you are using it for defense, to defend yourself, and that way it also makes your prayer get answered easily, because you are praying the word of God. You are not just praying your desires or your selfish interests.
You know, pray your desires. And I think another thing about praying with the word is, as you even said, God honors his word, or he holds his word higher than his name. You're retelling God, like, you said this is what you said. You are holding your word, this is what you said. And I think it also even builds that authority and that
confidence
in you. The Bible even says in the book of Job that you will declare a thing and it shall be established for you. So it builds that authority, that you know that I the word of God in my mouth is equal to the word of God in God's mouth. So if God can speak to this situation and it will obey him, then I can speak to this situation and this situation should be able to bow down to me. So whatever it is, sickness, lack, poverty, demons, whatever it is, they respond to the word of God that is spoken in authority, you know, from your mouth. Yeah, so you have to believe that the word of God carries that much power, first of all, to even be able to use it in that capacity. So the next one is the word of God as a man, Jesus. Like you already said, Jesus is the word of God. It's not that Jesus has or uses or, you know, Jesus is that word of God. And, you know, so let's talk about how the word of God can make us become like him. I think we talked about this in the episode Grace for Grace, right? We talked about how if you watch a movie, or if you read a book, no, not a movie, if you read a book, you kind of start to behave or use the words
in the book.
Yes, in the book, and begin to behave like the characters of the book. There's sort of like a rubbing off of character between you and the person you're reading about if you're reading a book. Yeah. So how does the word make us look more like Jesus and become
I'll say that spending time with the word of God is like, it is fellowshipping with God. Studying the word of God is like spending time with God.
Mm-hmm.
Being in an atmosphere where God is, you having a discussion with God, something mm-hmm. like that. Because mm-hmm. when you are reading the word, it also raises questions in your spirit.
It's
like a conversation, really. Mm-hmm. Somehow it's like a conversation. And it's just like how, you know, you see Moses in the Old Testament, when he went mm-hmm. up to the mount and he went and he was conversing with God to receive the Ten Commandments and all of that. When he came down from mm-hmm. the mountain, the Bible records that his face was shining and the people could not look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible didn't record that Moses went on the mountain and God rubbed off something like physically on Moses' face. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that the communication he had with God, the mm-hmm. time he had with God, discussing with God, writing down the commandments that mm-hmm. God was giving him and all of that, it transformed him, it changed him. So it's the same it's the same thing that was being talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So from this point, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it says, "Now, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, mm-hmm. are changed into the same image, yeah. from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Mm-hmm. You see, when I said earlier that the word of God as a sword, what it does is that it pierces through your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals yourself to you.
Yeah.
And then you see who you should be.
Yes.
So it's almost like the same thing here, because now when you see the word of God, it shows you that okay, this is who I supposed to be in the person mm-hmm. of Christ. You yeah. see who Christ is,
yeah.
and you see that's the firstborn of the believers.
Yes.
This is the prototype of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah. you begin to see the things in your life that are not aligning, mm-hmm. and you're like, mm-hmm. no, this is not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This representation in the word of God is who mm-hmm. I am. So you align yeah. yourself, God mm-hmm. changes you, and
yeah.
all of that. So that's how the word of God rubs off on you, because
mm-hmm.
it brings you to a realization of who you should be,
yeah,
and who you are currently, that whatever of who you should be.
Yeah. My God, that's so profound. The word of God is able to make you look at who you are, like it's able to reveal wicked ways. I just remember that David's prayer, that really, if there's any wicked way in me,
yeah.
and lead me in the way everlasting. Like, it's able to reveal, it's able to show that, oh, first of all, this is the prototype of who you should be, and these are the things in your life that are not aligning and are not following it. And that's the way that the word of God, which is Jesus, can transform you, can change you. Yes, and I think it's also very wonderful that Jesus is the word of God. So that means that if I am, I mean, like you said, like Moses fellowshipping with God, it's not like God rubbed anything on him.
Yeah.
All he did was stay in that presence. All he did was stay there. That was literally all he did. Just sit down and just listen and just hear and just listen to God speak. And he came down and he was already looking like,
yeah.
like he had been somewhere. Yeah. So about staying with the word, this is where I think that many people, I think me included, I have had many, I don't know if this is, but yes, I've had a lot of issues with consistency in studying the word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I mean, thank God now. But I know that a lot of people struggle with consistency in studying the word. A lot of people find it more interesting to even read a novel that might be very boring than carry their Bibles and read. I have a lot of people who pick up their Bibles and, you know, sleep. Sleep off. So how is it possible to achieve and attain consistency in the word of God?
Well, I know that every one of us already know that it's important to study the word of God.
Yes.
And it might even be easier to pray, because you can say that you are speaking out or you are moving up and down
right.
than to study the word of God.
Yeah,
because for
true.
Someone like me, I need quiet. I need peace to study, like
yeah.
something like that. And it's easier to slip off in that process.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say helped me is that you need to find or create an hunger. Something that makes
mm-hmm.
you hungry
yeah.
for the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what I used to do is, first, when I see people that know the word,
yeah,
I try to relate with them.
Mm.
I also try to listen to messages. Because if you listen to good pastors, they quote the Bible when they are preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when they preach, you also look at that word in that moment.
Yeah.
So with time, when you listen to them preach over and over again, you get to a point where you also, I don't know,
want
when you, yeah,
yourself.
You want, yeah, you want to find out by
yeah.
yourself, like,
yes.
is this what this Bible passage is saying?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I listen to a message and the pastor says, okay, we are reading this particular Bible passage and we read one verse of the Bible, I'm like, what did it say before? Is this...
Yes,
is,
thank you.
Is,
that's
is
true.
Is what this person saying in
oh
context of what the Bible
I'm
said
saying,
before? What did he
true.
Say before?
My
what
God.
Did he say after?
Mm-hmm.
That way, I read that Bible passage.
Yes.
So you have to create that hunger. When you create an hunger in you and you start from maybe listening to messages,
mm-hmm.
listening to podcasts, and
mm-hmm.
they quote the Bible passage, in that moment, check it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Wow.
It's a bad habit. For me, I believe that it's a bad habit when you're in church or you're listening to a message and they call a Bible passage, and because the pastor would read it, you don't check it in the Bible at that time. If you want to be able to, if you want to study the scriptures, if you want to go on with studying, make it an habit to always check the Bible passage at that time, then that will also help to create an hunger. Then with time, you'll be able to read on your own. Now, I would say it's important to still try. Even if you try to read the word of God and you slip off at it, even tomorrow, take it again and do it. One day, you'll be serious. Yeah. You just make it an habit and don't intentionally plan to sleep.
You make the atmosphere comfortable for sleep.
Don't intentionally plan to sleep, but just make it an habit. And with time, you would read.
Yeah.
Just create an hunger. When there's an hunger, there will be, you need food to fill up your hunger.
And I mean, even like we spoke about in the episode of about prayer, another thing that compels you to even study the word is love for God. Like, you know that, oh, what does God have to say today? Or what do you have to say? I want to know what you have to say today. And I think that another issue is many people are trying to study long, like you want to cover 5 chapters in a day. I'm not saying this is wrong, honestly. If you have the it's not about the quantity of what you study, it's about the quality. How many of those verses do you remember? How many of those verses, if you were asked now, if a situation comes up, can you apply in that situation? Like, so it's not about, oh, I studied 5 chapters or I studied 10 chapters or a particular amount of chapters in a day. It's about, what did I study today that, you know, that is relevant to my situation, that I can use, as in, because why are you studying the word of God if you cannot
make use of it? I think people confuse reading the Bible to studying the Bible.
That's very true.
Like, you can read, you hear of people that read the whole Bible maybe in a month or 2 months and all.
That's true.
It's a different thing. Then studying the word of God is it's just like how you study for an exam. You don't just read. Even people that cram, like when you are cramming it to pass your exam, you say it to yourself over and over again. Till you cram it. You may forget when you cram, but like, I'm not saying that. It's not like you reading one Bible passage and you read blah, 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 blah. You read everything and just go. No, you read a verse, you try to understand it, you spend some time on it, then you move on. It's possible that you've not read the whole Bible and you are not planning to read the whole Bible in a year or something like that. It's a good practice if you do, but it's good when you read your Bible for 30 minutes and you have something to show for it.
Yes, it's very true.
In the place of growth, you are not studying your Bible to brag.
Thank you.
You are not studying your Bible. We are not competing. You are studying it for your personal growth because you want to. You want to grow in the knowledge of God. You want to be a better person. You want to find yourself. You want to enjoy the company of God. You want to enjoy fellowshipping with God.
Yeah.
So it's not a must that you must do too much.
Yes.
Do that little that is meaningful.
Yeah, so that's very wholesome. And the last thing that I would like us to talk about is applying the word of God. I mean, we've touched it, but I remember in Revelations, Jesus speaking, he said that, and they overcame, not they overcome, or they are overcoming, right? Yeah. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So why is it important to apply this word of God in situations, and how do we even apply the word of God?
Okay. So it's important to apply the word of God because when you do that, it becomes your reality first. Then it sinks in more. Like, the things of the spirit is like, it's not like, oh, I'm just amassing knowledge. When you use it, you get better at it. Like, that's how growth is. If you pray 1 second today, tomorrow you pray 2 seconds, next something like that. So when you have this word of God, you apply. There was a time in my life when I was like so interested in studying God's word and all of that. I'm still interested, that's what I mean, but like, I was really, then I didn't know so much, and I had a lot of people around me that knew so much, so I was trying to know so much. And what I was also doing was that I looked for opportunities to use it. The more you use something, the better you get at it.
That's true.
If you don't use it, it will just be there. So I looked for opportunities to use it. If opportunities didn't come, I wanted to tell somebody about it. I wanted to answer questions in my home church then, Bible study. When they have, I want to answer questions. I want to tell somebody what I learned. Like, do you know the Bible said this thing? Have you read this part before?
That's and all true. Of that. Yeah.
So the more you apply it, the better it's you are at it. And also you remember it.
Yes.
You, because there are situations that will come at you immediately in life when you don't have the time to just check. Go and check. Yeah. Okay, what did the Bible say about healing? But when that thing comes to you immediately, the fact that you've used that word before, it's kind of, your brain remembers it somehow. Yes. So in that moment, you can just call on that word and speak it and tackle the situation immediately. So that's why it's really important to apply it. The more you apply, the better you get at it. You get, you even get in-depth knowledge.
Yes.
You get deeper.
Deeper. Yes, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Wow.
Yeah. And how do you apply it? Like, you can be like me, find situations to apply the word.
That's actually
find true. Situations to teach somebody. Like, tell somebody. Like, I was reading today, I even saw this thing in the Bible.
Yes,
just find the reason to teach it out, to say it out. Because just like in your academics, like when you have like a group reading and the person that explains, when you are explaining, you tend to retain the knowledge of that thing that you explain. So it also works like that.
Yeah.
Anything you don't use, you would forget it in a while.
Yes.
And it's not because you didn't read it well at that time or you didn't study it well at that time. It's just like you didn't use it. So
yeah. Oh my God. Wow. I can't be the only person that just heard that. That was very, very true. That is truth. Because I mean, the word of God in your heart that cannot come out of your mouth is really not of use to anybody, not to you, not to anyone else. So I think it's very, 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 very important to apply the word of God in situations. I really like what you said about growth and how it is not growth if you're not using the word. Actually, spiritual, you cannot say someone is spiritually mature, so someone is spiritually growing if the person has read, let's say, the whole book of Job. I don't know, I'm using Book of Job. Wait. Oh God. They used to punish us in those days, right? The Book of Job was punishment.
Sorry.
Oh my God. But anyway, you cannot say that, I've read the whole Book of Job, but there's nothing I can apply from those scriptures. That's not spiritual growth. It's just knowledge. Is it knowledge?
It's not really knowledge because you may not, if you don't remember anything, it's like you just went through. Like skimming or scamming or what do they call it? Like
skimming or scamming. Whatever it's called.
It's English.
It's English. You're just reading it for reading's sake. So the real growth comes when you're able to apply that word in situations. I think that's just so awesome. Wow. Today's episode has been so beautiful, man. I really love the word of God. Oh, I think another way that you can even be consistent in studying the word of God is finding what works for you. Because there were days when I used to study the Bible as, you know, I didn't even understand what people were talking about. Because people would just be like, study your Bible. I mean, yes, I study Bible, but only because I know my mother would come and ask us,
what do you read today?
Yeah, or someone would say, what have you read? Or what is the recent thing that God is speaking today? And I'm just run back to my Bible like, okay, there. But later on, the Holy Spirit actually was the one who introduced, I don't know how, the Bible says that he puts the desires of your heart in your heart. Well, I don't know what that is, but like that's where I understand the verse that he knows the desires of your heart. So the Holy Spirit was able to reveal to me, like, precious, this is the way studying my word will work for you. I started journaling. I don't even know. I mean, yes, I studied the Bible, but it's not complete for me if I don't write it down. Like, I have to literally write it down. For me, that's what works for me. Just find what works for you. If I said I was going to study the Bible, like, you know, many other people who, you know, for them, that's the way they study the Bible and that's the way they get it, like just reading that, sitting down and reading it over and over again. I can read it 10 times. If I don't write it down, I really will not. It's not entering. Yeah. I'm not really getting anything from it. But once I write it down, I know that, God, I've caught something today, like, I've received something. And I think that that's very important. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what's the best way that I can study your word, that it will stay in me, that it will stay with me, and I'll be able to use it in situations. Wow. This episode has been lovely. I absolutely am blessed. Like, I'm so blessed, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed. So we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Like, wow. If I'm going to have post-session with her.
Hey.
Because, yeah, as you said, we should relate, Abby, find people around us that, you know, are deep into the world. I found my own. Please, guys, find your own. Also, I want to encourage you to send this episode to anyone you love. If you love them, then they deserve to, you know, hear this too, deserve to know this too. So if you love them, send it to them. Yeah. And share this episode. And listen again, because it will really bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait. Before you go, we have a short announcement to make. So, sadly, but not so sadly, this will be the last episode of Cedars in Lebanon until July. So, we're going on a break, and we will resume unfailingly on the 3rd of July. So the next episode, which is going to be super, super interesting and just filled with so much wisdom and a very special guest too, will come out on the 3rd of July. Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us for the past 7 weeks. In this 5-week break, I encourage you to listen to all past episodes. The lessons in them can never expire, and I'm very sure that they will bless you. Please do stay with us. Do not leave. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you again on the 3rd of July. Have a great week, and God bless you. Bye.